The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 199. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up, what up?
Brian Manjoma.
Yeah, don't send dick pics to other people's people. I'm nice.
Brett Murdoch.
The pre-show you guys missed.
Man, and Adam Vale.
Sucker Free Sunday, Gang Fight Edition.
That's it, man. Yo, by the way, and this is one of those pre-show conversations we actually would have been okay to record because this is interesting, but man. All right. Shit, I don't even have my fucking show notes. Hey, Chris, how you feeling, man? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. It's just I've been working a lot on a Rush project, so it's been nights.
Ugh.
Oh, no. All right, man. Yeah, so here we go. We have a contest going on, people. All right, so this Thursday, episode 200 at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, we will be giving away a free copy of Spider-Man's for the PS4. So basically, if you want to enter this contest, it's still going. Follow us on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Twitter. And then after that, go into the video that we have posted for the contest over on YouTube. Or you can just head over to our Twitter and just answer this simple question. What is your favorite Spider-Man game? We're going to pick somebody at random. We're going to have them on, you know, and we'll send you your copy ASAP. And we're going to have Torrance on the show, Torrance Davis. We're going to have Hip Hop Gamer on. And maybe somebody else. Who knows? If we have room, because Google has that 10-person limit, but we could sneak somebody else in there. We're going to do it. You know, it's going to be crazy, man. Crazy, you know? All right, so we got a decent amount of questions. So, and some of these are really good, like head-scratchy. So it'll be fun to answer some of these, man. So first up is our boy Hemdio, appropriately enough, is asking us a Spider-Man question. So he goes, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero, so I'm stoked about the game dropping soon. Knowing there is DLC planned for until next year, a thought came to mind. What if Insomniac created an internal team whose sole purpose was to create a story content for Spider-Man for the next 2 years? I feel like a move like this would be great for Spider-Man and for single-player games in general. It keeps people engaged with a game longer, keeps the studio working on the IP, and Insomniac gets to naturally expand the world and content for their Spider-Man game. It would be even more awesome if they build each DLC as a new issue. I'd lose my shit. What if your favorite single-player games was guaranteed content for 2 years? What are your thoughts? First of all, most studios actually do that. They finish the main game and then they have like another kind of side team working on the additional content. Insomniac actually explained this the other day because people were kind of upset. Like, why are they announcing a post-launch DLC now? Why isn't it already in the game? And they had explained, it's like, because we haven't made this shit yet. We just started working on it now that the game is done. And the DLC price is going to pay for this shit. You know, so... You know, because again, you can't just drop the $60 game and just be done with it. Some studios will do that.
If you don't, right?
Cause yeah,
if you don't
yeah,
release
yeah.
The next album with bitches, I'm giving you money for what?
For what? What a DLC? Like,
oh, this is happening. What? Why isn't it? You know what I mean? You can't make everybody happy.
Yeah.
There's no winning here. I do want to say though. So it sounds like what you're saying is you like the idea of the original way that they sold us DLC and that we should make DLC the way that they originally sold it to us. I mean, that was the sales pitch when we first started getting DLC. They were like, it's going to be a win-win for everybody. We're going to extend the life of games longer. We're going to keep people employed between projects. We're going to have constant additional content coming out that's going to keep your library fresh and open. And yeah, it's a good idea. I'm just being a cynic here and saying it was a good idea 15 fucking years ago or however long it's been now. They've been selling us DLC. So like, yeah, I will applaud Spider-Man doing it, but it's not like this hasn't been an option or it's a fresh new idea. It's just, I don't know, EA.
Yeah, but I think for his question, he just wants to know if more studios should, you know, devote a specific team to have content come in for years. But I'm like, we already kind of have that, you know?
They kind of already do that sort of stuff.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they
This is just the only time that somebody's actually said that they have a specific team set aside to do the DLC. Like, what do you think, like, Grand Theft Auto is? It's not the full Grand Theft Auto team. A full Grand Theft Auto team are probably working on Red Dead Redemption. So they hired out another team within their own studio to handle all the additional stuff.
I think the main team should be absorbed by this additional team. Like, I don't think that, because the problem comes, at least in my opinion, well, you have these people, all these, you know, these programmers, these artists that are employed, and after release of the main game, a lot of them lose their jobs because they don't, and then they got to get picked up for a new project. It's not that different than kind of a lot of what Manny does in the sense that, like, you get a job, you keep a job for a while, and then that job, due to no fault of your own, just kind of it dries up, and hopefully you can jump to another project, but that's not always the case.
That's the nature of freelance, though. I mean, but whenever game studios, they always balloon their team out. They fill in the extra roles, and then they cut everybody off, and unless their main team, or they've been hired onto the main team. It's always like that.
Yeah,
and you kind of end up being like an industry gypsy just because of the nature of the work.
But wouldn't it work better if they had, you know, if they kept these people on longer, you know, working on DLC and, you know, cosmetic items and things like that? Like, I don't think anybody would be upset by that.
No, I don't think anybody working on the things would be upset about that, but I think that's, it also has to be within the, you know, the budget of the actual of the thing. Like, it's like, okay, how long can we keep this extra 500 people around? You know,
I don't know if the game's even going to sell.
Exactly. You know, Mass Effect, we'll talk about Mass Effect. Mass Effect Andromeda had all this DLC supposedly planned, and as soon as the game like tanked, they literally cut all those things, which means that they cut all those additional teams that they had in line for those roles.
Same thing with Resident Evil 6. The game sold horribly. There was planned DLC, story DLC and stuff. All got cut.
Yep. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. That's just an incentive to make a game that doesn't fail on launch.
Yeah, no. So yeah, you can't be like, you're just going to have these guys doing DLC. If the game doesn't do well, it doesn't really matter, you know?
No. But I am saying that it's nice when, you know, it pays off for more than just the consumer, was my point. When a game does well and they have constant content and cosmetics rolling out, you're keeping people, you know, even, you know, people who create assets, and that's one of the hardest group of people to keep around. People creating assets for, you know, fucking hats and shirts and whatever, like just little DLC cosmetic items that they're throwing out there that help to continue to fund the game. Like, I don't even have a problem with those, even though they're technically microtransactions. Like, I think it's generally going to give people more content and keep people employed. So if it's done right, I absolutely support it.
Yeah, but I think, you know, for the main part of the question, it's like, yeah, that most studios already do something like that, you know? So
just because they have a fucking Game Pass doesn't mean that they're doing it right.
Well, that's a whole other conversation, you know? That's a whole other thing. He specifically asked, do you want to see more of that? It's like, we already see that. We already have studios that have a team dedicated to just post-launch content. That's already established.
Not for years, though. And see, that's the thing.
Not for years. So, yeah, I guess the question, do you want to see that? It's like a permanent team that's locked in for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily like the idea of we're going to publish this game, we're going to push out a season pass worth of DLC in about 9 months, and then we're going to abandon it. Like, I like the idea of continual content over the course of years. That's what we were originally sold on, but they kind of ended up giving us, you know, oh, here's your season pass to squeeze another $30 out of you at launch. We'll throw a couple fart in the wind DLCs at you and then walk away from the game when we make our next project. I felt that's a little bit of a bait and switch. So yeah, I feel absolutely that we should go back to or go towards, you know, supporting games for longer lifespans. The active player base has never hurt.
What do you guys say? I guess nobody cares.
I don't think they should guarantee content.
No, you can't do it.
Because it's hard. The economics of video game development is just so unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking, I think we were talking about this the other day. about how Anthem looks like it's a boom or bust game. Like, I'm pretty sure they have in the plans a whole bunch of DLC, sort of like in the Destiny route. But if Anthem fails and Bioware goes down the drain, they're not going to release that content. It doesn't make sense to do that because it's not going to...
That's to be expected, though. Shouldn't everybody plan for success and then shutter it down if it's a failure? Like, nobody should keep a game on life support for years.
Here's the thing. You don't exactly know if it's going to be a success.
This is after success. Success is just the game and then the DLC and all. That's bonus. Because then wow, there's a demand for it.
That seems like basic business plan, though. Like, in any good business plan, let's say you're opening a fucking smoothie factory, right? Like, you're gonna build your smoothie factory to pump out 6,000 smoothies a day. But you have it written into your business plan that if you start selling out, this thing goes fucking crazy, how are you going to expand rapidly to accommodate if you need to make 6,000 smoothies a day or 10,000 smoothies a day? Like, what is your game plan to get from point A to point B? And every successful business plan is going to have that kind of laid out. So just because you say, here's our plans for DLC, if the game bombs, then you don't enact those plans. But that's better than the game being wildly successful and you'd be like, oh shit, well, we really hadn't planned for any DLC. Well, we'll probably get on that.
But the question was guaranteed content for 2 years.
Was like, it guaranteed?
Yeah.
You can't guarantee content for 2 years because you can't guarantee that the game's not going to flop.
Oh, no, exactly. Like,
yeah, but that's what he asked. You know?
Yeah, that's what he asked. Cause, like, you're obviously going to have a plan if this game succeeds, but you're also going to have a plan if this game doesn't succeed. So if you guarantee 2 years of content, then you're pretty much telling your investors, yeah, we're just going to, like, if this game bombs day one, we're just going to keep wasting money after that.
No, I don't think you can guarantee it. I think you can plan for it. But yeah, if we're talking strictly like, no matter how much money this game hemorrhages, we're going to keep putting content out for 2 years. Like, no, that's just, that's a, nobody should do that. That's just poor business.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man.
It worked with the Division, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, the game eventually became a success, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the Division had so much.
Still their number one selling, though. That was the thing. It's the highest grossing for an opening. So it made a lot of money. So they already knew there was a lot of people out there. So yeah, they were like, we have to cater to those people. We can't just live hanging. And that's what happened. If let's say it came out and it didn't sell well, we wouldn't be talking about it now.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's right. Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. Because, again, we do have not a super amount of questions, but some of these are going to get pretty lengthy. all right. The next one is my man Mebs. So he goes, perhaps it's a generalization, but non-gamers assume video games aren't informative or educational. I've had conversations with work colleagues who were really surprised at my knowledge on Greek mythology. However, unbeknownst to them, the vast majority of it came from God of War. The same thing happened with me and my knowledge of Italian history, something I attribute to Assassin's Creed Origins, Ezio Saga. What games have been educational for you? Which made you go beyond just playing a game and doing research into the actual history or lore on which the game is based on? I edited that, but he did say that, you know, he played the games and was so fascinated by them. You know, he went and did his research. It's obviously you know, God of War doesn't have one-to-one Greek history, but he went and researched the real shit. So, yeah, what games, like, made you go, oh, I want to learn more about this stuff?
Funny thing is that, like, for a lot of this stuff, where it's like, you know, at least for me, a lot of it I already had, an interest in. So it's like, okay, you know, as far as history and stuff like that. But it is kind of fun seeing that stuff put into games where, you know, giving them a different, like a specific place or time.
Yeah. For me, even though the Ezio one is a good one, the big one for me was actually Valiant Hearts. I don't know. I'm just being honest. Yeah. I didn't know dick about the First World War. I knew plenty about the second one. I didn't know jack about the first one. I just knew Franz Ferdinand got killed. It. Yeah. So much, you know,
the one thing about like World War One, it's kind of like, it's kind of weird. It's like the Lost War, you know, like they're like, yeah, World War One happened, but, you know,
they didn't have the technology to document it like World War II did.
Yeah, and also it's not a clean cut war either. World War II is simple, you know.
The assassination of a prince, or something.
And then that leads like
Archduke Ferdinand.
Yeah, Archduke Ferdinand, and then, you know, because of alliances they had in Europe, all this shit just cascaded. It was like a you know, it was just a mess. Like World War II was like very.
A brawl.
Yeah, it was like a brawl. Exactly. Brett, there you go. It was like a brawl. Like we got alliances, shit.
Everybody started fighting.
Like, oh, motherfucker.
Yeah. The thing, you can't explain it easily. It's just one of those, like, why did everybody go to war?
Because a lot of people died.
And somebody tipped the first domino.
Yeah.
Second one, why did everybody go to war? Because Nazis!
Yeah, that's like, it. It's simple, you know? This motherfucker wants to take over the world, you know? Japanese. Yeah. You know, and it also has like.
Big... Well, it wasn't even Nazis. It was just Germans.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be.
It's, no. But he
summon up that. People are like,
And also, World War II has those big moments. You know, D-Day, the atom bomb, all this other shit, right? World War One. You know.
And like, America was more involved in World War.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just be honest about that. But yeah, but it made me, you know, dive deeper into World War One. But even now, I did all that like research. I still can't. Tell you the exact same timeline because it was such a messy war, but it was cool. That game was like the biggest one for me. I'm like, I need to go check this out. This is cool, you know.
Well, let's shout out to Call of Duty on this one. Like, despite the fact that I don't think many of us play it, I think Adam might sometimes every once in a while. Regardless, lot of people know a lot more like about military history because of those games, even if they're
at least from World War II.
Yeah,
I mean, most of it's fiction stuff, but the World War II stuff, that was a good depiction of real locations and some of the real battles, Battle of the Bulge and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it may be, you know, somewhat surface, but I think a lot of people would be able to tell you about a lot more battles in World War II than they would be if they hadn't played Call of Duty or Battlefield.
If they listen, that's the thing. Some people don't give a shit. They just like go in and start shooting. It's like, where are you? I don't know. Some fucking field. I don't know. I'm supposed to be killing everybody. It's like, okay.
Like, do they have red sashes on their arm? All right, they're dead.
There you go.
Yeah, this is an interesting question because, like, you know, a lot of games aren't even set in real life. Like, yeah, man, I wanted to learn about the Alien Wars after playing Contra 3. You know, like, that shit didn't happen, you know?
I don't know. Well, like, I wanted to, like, Mass Effect made me want to... do a lot of like
some people learning the wrong thing, well, not the wrong things, but the things that they don't even think about, like for example Mafia 3, right? That took place in, was it New Orleans during the 40s and 50s? A lot of racism, and there were some parts where if you were driving around the streets in certain areas in a car, the police would just stop you, you know, and you would have that whole altercation, and some people get offended. Yeah. Like, why is this in a game? I was like, well, that's sort of what was happening at the time. Oh, so you're trying to teach me some shit? Is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to go to show me?
You're trying to teach me?
By the way, Kristen mentions in the chat, how about science or folklore? Is it just history? One game that I think...
No, we could throw folklore in there. Why not? You know?
I think a lot of people started looking more into sort of multiple universe theory, like string theory, after BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, so I think for me as well, a lot of people just started looking more into that kind of stuff.
Or looking into like ancient civilizations because of like, you know, the people in Assassin's Creed. It's like, what was there beforehand, you know?
BioShock introduces you to a lot of philosophy.
Yeah, it does. Whoa. You know, even Far Cry Primal teaches you how man used to live before, you know, the Bronze Age and a shit. So, yeah, there's plenty of good games out there that aren't, like, overtly, like, because there are educational games, but there are games that are meant to be entertaining that just so happen to teach you some shit, too, you know?
I have a relevant one, relevant to the way that the question was asked.
Dark Souls.
Of course. No.
It's historically accurate, that game.
I didn't really like Westerns. Never really got into Western movies, wasn't really a fan of Western music. But I really fell in love with the first Red Dead, and it finally presented that world in a way that I could relate to, because it wasn't the cheesy, high, overblown. It was a little bit more grounded, and that kind of took off that buffer of like, the John Wayne filter. And, you know, so I started reading more about it, and it's still not my favorite topic, but I don't hate Westerns anymore. And it really kind of gives you a view into how people lived in this really weird, unregulated territory where they could pretty much do just about whatever the fuck they wanted because a police officer showed up about once a month and then moved on.
The thing about,
like, and if you didn't like the police officer, you could just kill him.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's not super historically accurate, but it does a good job of giving you a glimpse into what the world was actually like.
Yeah. In Red Dead Redemption. Anyway, Manny, what were you gonna say?
Excuse me. The thing about, like, you know, westerns and stuff like that, like why they were so popular in the States is because that was what the American hero looked like. You know, that is the, you know, the sharecropper or the person, you know, the people that went out and, you know, and, you know, didn't know what the world was going to be like in the other side of the other side of the thing. That's why westerns are. They're just,
that's what
just,
westerns, you know, should be. But they became spaghetti westerns. And like, I like,
no, spaghetti westerns are a totally different thing. Spaghetti western is Western films, people from Italy seeing films from the United States and saying, holy shit, that is cool. Let's make our own. That's what a spaghetti Western is.
That became so popularized that that's what I had originally associated. Like, I've always liked the idea of, like, pioneers and, like, self-made men and, like, all that kind of thing. Like, so there are actually really cool aspects to, you know, the whole Manifest Destiny thing that are cool in story form as well as the Old West. But I had been so exposed to that kind of weird spaghetti Western kind of thing that
and John Wayne films are not spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah, they're still fucking...
No. Spaghetti Western specifically references a movie, Western movies made in Italy.
Okay, well...
That is all...
John Wayne's authentic Western. That's all. Yeah. We made that.
Clint Eastwood... Any of the Clint Eastwood movies, all of those are all spaghetti westerns made in Italy. The original Django was originally a movie that was made out in Italy.
Most of the Mexicans in the spaghetti westerns are played by Italians.
Yeah, they're all right. Italian. Yeah, they're from you know, what is it? What's that?
Okay, what is Brett specifically talking about? You're talking about the stereotypical Western movies, Brett? Is that what you're talking about? Put in my partner, that type of shit. Yeah, I'll meet you at noon.
John Wayne stuff is not spaghetti.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, let's get rid of that term because you know, it's just like with anime, it's like that's only from Japan. Spaghetti westerns are only from Italy.
On record,
yeah.
There's only one historical count of an actual showdown in Tombstone. After that, it's never really happened. But yeah, in all these movies, that make it seem like that's what cowboys do—they just face each other and duel. Mm-hmm. That was not a thing.
Yeah, no, but I feel you. I was the same way with westerns until I played Red Dead Redemption. You know, I was like, oh wow, this is crazy. Because before that, it's like you said, put him up, partner. You know, it's like, cut that shit. You know, what is this nonsense? You know, I think the only western I liked before that was Back to the Future 3. You know,
and that is the worst Back to the Future.
It is, ironically enough. You know, put him up. I'll meet you at noon. Movies,
I think a lot of people have these kind of misconceptions about the films when it comes to, like, a lot of them. You know,
but I'm gonna shoot me some engines. You know,
there are definitely good films made within those that genre. But I do think that what happens with a lot of that sort of stuff is that it kind of you got to remember that back, you know, even before we were born, every single channel had a Western. You know, you can literally, like, if you have like the channel MeTV, you literally could turn that shit on. They show you every single one of those westerns.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, any other games that taught you about history or lore or whatever, or made you want to go deeper into it?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brett.
Oregon Trail.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, that was an educational game.
Yeah.
What's dysentery? Oh my god.
What is that? I got to look it up. You know.
So, Sarah died from a snake bite.
I would say a game like Okami was actually not about history, but it was something that was totally foreign to me. You know, where it's a game that takes place in Japanese culture and mythology, which as a Westerner we don't know much about. They have so many different gods and demons and all kinds of other crazy stuff that it's interesting to even, you know, find out about that stuff as opposed to our current kind of like, hey, it's a dragon and on the top of a keep inside of with some gold. You know, it's like, okay.
You know, by the way, shout out to Black Metal Gamer for the super chat. Always appreciate that.
Thank Mr. Metal.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
I'd say for lore, like recently, because I was talking about that game, that horror game from the Until Dawn studio. Was it Supermassive? Man of Medan, and I went and looked it up because I'm like, what is this happening in Italy? I didn't know what they were talking about. I'm like, what the hell is Man of Medan? And then I found out that there's a ship named that, and it's actually about a real sunken ship. It's a real story, and it has real lore to it. So that so that made me look that up, and that was just from a trailer, you know. So that's a recent example. Hey, old example, I mean, I've read some World War II stuff based on went a long time ago playing Wolfenstein 3D.
Nice.
Oh, I have one. L.A. Noir. Because a lot of the cases with the Black Dahlia, and I wanted to know if some of the other ones were real, and they were. They were real cases that they brought up, unsolved cases, and they just added their own twist to an actual ending.
Yeah, yeah, see, that's cool, they, man. I like that.
Yeah, that's what they said with the L.A. Noir. It was like the main thing was the Black Dahlia. It was one of they put in that time, and they're like, yeah, the Black Dahlia is one of many cases that we are going to be touching on,
because it was unsolved, and so they can add whatever they think. I mean, there's a lot of theories of who did it and why, but they added their own twist to it, so kind of cool. Yeah.
Before we move off, because I assume this topic is coming close,
yes,
I just want to point out that when in these conversations with people too, you can also point out the fact that academic research shows that people who play video games have a better capacity for critical.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even need to be contextual information, just the capacity to organize thoughts and solve problems.
Quick thing before we do move on. When I went to see a preview of Assassin's Creed Origins, during the preview, I learned that supposedly some teachers actually show the Assassin's Creed games to their students, you know, and that's how they decide, like, hey, why can't I have a mode where I don't have to fight? And that, so that whole mode, you know, the Discovery Tour, it was actually inspired by teachers that wanted to show their students all this shit, but they didn't want to, have the gameplay in there, if you know what I'm saying.
I wish we had classes like that back in the day, man. Imagine your teacher, like, yo, let me fight these guys, and I'm going to show you this building over here. We can get to the cathedral. Hold on a second. I got to kill these guys.
I got to slap this motherfucker in the neck, you know? Oh man!
All right. Well, I mean, it's all about. I mean, when it comes to that sort of stuff, it's also about presenting these things to younger people in a way that they enjoy, rather than just kind of throwing a book at it at somebody and saying, "Okay, here, read this."
Well, it's a different time now. You know, we didn't have that.
Shit.
The most we would get the most we would get was like a documentary. Or a film strip presentation. You got a PBS documentary, a film strip thing, or
on that TV from the hallway.
Or a comic.
You know, the AV club shit.
Yeah, the AV club television that often was not in a very good television.
Oh, man. All right, come on. We got to move on here, man. Next question. With Sony and Microsoft reporting increased digital sales, does this mean they are essentially locking in the user base for the next generation of consoles? If a person has amassed a large catalog of games via digital means on PSN or Xbox Live, I don't really see them jumping ship to an Xbox 2 or a PlayStation, even if they, you know, if something did happen badly with the thing of their choice. This goes back to what we were talking about last week, kind of like Brett, remember you were talking about, like, if the Xbox 2 comes out early and it has, like, really good looking games, you're just like, fuck it, I'm buying that shit, you know? So I know you would definitely jump, ship.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Unless it has backwards compatibility, why does it matter?
That's the thing, though. I'm glad, bro, because I was like, dude, I'm pretty sure most of whatever system you're going to buy next is going to be backwards compatible with the shit you currently have now. So you probably don't even have to worry about this, you know? But I understand where he's coming
from. Your game library anyway, bro.
Yeah, you're gonna be fine, you know. But I do understand the worry, because it's like, you know, if you're on an ecosystem, you're gonna be really hesitant to jump to another one. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you've amassed, like, you know, a library, trophies, achievements, whatever. You know. But you're right. Who's this? Black Metal Gamer, shout out again for the super chat. Man, I love that. But yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
Yeah, Xbox is going to be
a scholar and a gentleman.
Yes. So yeah, dude, don't even worry about it, man. Your systems, you're going to be able to play all your systems, all your games, all that shit's going to be.
Nobody's taking your old system away from you.
Yeah, that is also another thing, you know. But
you're going to have to walk away from your game library anyway, because they're not going to have backwards compatibility when they can sell you the games again on the next gen. This isn't me just imagining shit. This is how it's panned out this generation, so I don't see why it would be different in the next generation. It may seem weird to those of you who are a little bit younger, but here's the thing. People forget people grow up. Somebody who's 10 now will be 20 in 10 years, and they will buy the same game that you played when you were 20 because they've heard the hype about it. So, yes, they can continue to sell as a generation. It's not a thing that can't happen. So
it's like watching movies. We still watch old movies.
Oh, yeah, that's how I expect they're going to circumvent that because, like, again, I still believe the PlayStation 5 and Xbox 2 will be backwards compatible, but they could still be like, hey, you know what? Yeah, you can play that game from your PS4 on PS5. That's no problem, but... why don't you buy this hotter version that we just made for you, man? they're going to do that because they make too much money off that shit.
Yo, man, you know? Get this hotter version.
Like, yo, it's in real 4K.
But here's the thing that I don't understand. Like, I get that there's a bunch of people who have never been through this before. And I feel like the old man in Game of Thrones who's seen multiple winters kind of deal. Like, I know a lot of you haven't really been through the big rollover yet. And some of you may not remember the last time it happened. Every time you get a new generation of systems, you leave your old game library behind. It's always happened, and it's not the end of the world.
It wasn't until like the PlayStation 1 to 2 where we actually saw that you could actually go back and play your original games.
I mean, yeah.
That's when it became popular. The first one that really did that was the Sega Genesis. You could actually play your Master System games on it with an adapter, of course.
Yeah. Well, the other part of that is that the fact that every single Sega system had the original the past Sega systems processor on the board as the soundboard. So the Sega Master System had a the Sega Genesis had a Sega Master System processor in there as the sound chip, and alternatively the Sega Saturn also had pieces of the original of the Genesis and 32X inside of it, so they theoretically could have played games.
Yeah, the reason for that is because both of those systems were based off Sega's arcade games. You know, mm-hmm. There was a lot of cross-pollination there, but you're right, in general. Cross, like backwards compatibility has not historically been a thing, you know? You kind of do leave your games behind. You know, okay, get a new system, got to move on now. Now it's becoming a bigger thing.
But here's the thing. I know as a kid, we've always wanted that sort of thing. Why do I have to buy, I would have totally bought a bunch of Sega Saturn games. Gone is the Sega Saturn world. If the stupid Dreamcast actually played those old games,
yeah.
But you know which service actually opened up the door for that, and that's PCs. Because on PCs, you could play everything. It didn't matter what generation. It could be an old ROM game, and you could still play it.
Yeah, PCs don't have generations. Yeah.
And I think that's what really opened up the door. Is like, hey, if you want to compete with PCs and stuff, you got to do what they do, and they let you play old shit.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, so yeah, I wouldn't really worry too much about it. You know, it is a good question, really, though.
I'll just get a PC, and then I'll never have to worry about that because I can always play all of
my PC.
Well, unless they remove them from the store.
Well, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
They remove some shit.
Oh yeah, Ninja Turtles.
Try finding Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Ninja Turtles.
I'm sure you will find it somewhere.
You name it, there's always a place. That's what I'm saying. There's always somebody.
Adam, man, with that hookup.
Yeah.
Man.
The bigger question here, when the next generation rolls around, is where your friends are going to be playing. Like, people don't necessarily care about their ecosystem.
I don't care where you're playing. Circle. Fuck you.
Damn.
I'm kidding.
Yo, by the way, this is not going to mean anything to anybody outside this room right now, but if Brett and Manny ever got into a fist fight, I don't know who I would side with.
I know. The Asian guy.
You'd be obligated to punch us both.
Yeah, right? You know, Brett, I'll have to side with
him. Why are you two fighting?
Yeah, damn, fuck you guys, man. I'm just going to chill in the cut. Anyway, so, I forgot the question.
No situations you sit out.
Yeah, you have to. Like, yeah, that's your brothers.
That's a situation where you don't get involved.
Like, by the way, that's the shit we were talking about beforehand, man. What was the question? I totally forgot the question now. Backwards compatibility, games. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Let's move on.
As a service.
Yeah, they got some shit going on. All right. Well, next.
He's basically asking with digital service, are you more.
Oh, yeah, Brad, you were talking about your friends. Yeah, like you say you go to wherever your friends go. That's what you were saying. Yeah. Yeah, man, I think that's what helped the PlayStation a lot. Because remember, in the beginning, a lot of the PlayStation owners were actually Xbox 360 guys, you know? Yeah.
And that's how it rolls over. So it's not something you're not going to be sitting there being like, oh man, but I have a bunch of PS4 games. I'm thinking about getting an Xbox too. Be like, well, are you still going to have your PS4? Yeah. Well, then it doesn't matter. But no, but none of your friends are, we're all waiting for the PS5. Like, oh, so if I got an Xbox 2, I'd be the only one. Yeah. I might wait with you guys. That would be the more the nature of the conversation.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know? All right. So move on here. G Megaforce 123. So this is a funny one. If you could cheat in an online game and get away with it, would you? Let's say you find a way to cheat in an online game that no one knew about. It will almost guarantee you win every match without people being able to tell you were cheating. Would you use it? Fuck no. Why? What's the point of that? You know?
How do you prove you're better if you're cheating?
Yeah. Like, what's the point of that? You know? I don't. Like, would you do it, G-Megaforce? That's what I want to know. Okay, my question to you guys, what is the benefit of doing something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're just winning a match against some random fuckhead, who gives a shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you need to cheat in order to beat them? Does that make you feel better? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's... All right, let's do a flip on it. It's not so much of beating someone. What if it's farming? Like what happened with the God of War?
No, but he's specifically saying you're using a cheat to beat other people. That's what he's saying here. You know, that's what he's asking. If it's
a fighting game, I guess, and yeah, that's not fun for anybody.
Like if you're cheating against the AI, whatever, who cares? You know, go for it. You're cheating against another person. I'm like, what do you get out of that? You know, I don't comprehend that. Or am I bugging here? Like I don't get it. You know?
If you asked me this question when I was a kid, I would probably say yes. But because I used to cheat at Halo. I used to cheat at Halo. By the way,
quickly, sick humor. Shout out to you, brother, for the super chat, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Blood.
Yeah, but again, Carlos, you were a kid. You know.
Yeah.
You're not a man. You know. If you're a man, you're doing that shit, man. Come on, son.
Yeah, I was 16. I didn't know better.
Well, I also think like sometimes
I don't know, Carlos. They had hair on your nuts when you're 16, bro.
I think so.
Go ahead, Manny.
I think sometimes though a lot of people can't handle the fact of, you know, just losing. You know, and it kind of goes to something, a current event that happened pretty recently. You know what I mean?
The fact that somebody
doesn't want to lose so badly that they have to cheat.
Man, I don't want to bring up names.
Mm-hmm. No, I to piggyback on Manny's point, like I have noticed, at least when I play games, I'm apparently the weird one because I don't mind losing, especially in a multiplayer game. Like I don't have to come in first. I can fucking come in last. I'm gonna try my damnedest. Like, and Tony, you're kind of the same way. Like when we're playing Destiny, we're like, man, I did good that round. I feel like I really brought it. I got some good points. You know, we didn't have to top the leaderboards. Like, as long as you're being competitive, you don't always have to win. But then we do know those people that, like, freak out if their KDR drops too low. So there are people out there who I have met who just can't fucking stand not winning. Can't, especially hate losing. I know people that stay away from multiplayer games because, like, oh, well, I kind of suck at those things. Like, well, so? You having fun? If you kill one person every four times you die, if you... having fun, who cares?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's like but again, to some people, if they lose, they're not having fun, you know, like that's all that matters. I don't understand that type of mentality at all, you know, but it definitely exists. I'm pretty sure there's some cats out there that would do this. You're like, yo, I can't get caught, fuck that, I'm gonna cheat, you know, and they would feel good about themselves.
At the same time, like I'm also not like a multiplayer type of person either.
Yeah,
I don't yearn for that sort of competitive environment because
I think that's why I don't understand it either, Manny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what would I get out of it? You know what I'm saying?
But it's the same thing of like going to the arcade and playing Street Fighter. The people that did that because they wanted to go against someone that was real and not just the AI, and dump a bunch of quarters in. That's what they did it for.
Oh, yeah, but here's my thing. It's like, okay, let's just say, you know, you want to face an actual person, right, because you get the challenge. But what's the point of that if you're going to cheat anyway? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Adam?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's like, what?
I don't know. There's no crazy point then. I mean, unless it's your friend and you're filming it and you want to brag, like, look, I got this method that nobody else knows.
Yo, I got that ultimate cheat code, you know?
That's it.
Good man, I got the blood code.
Yeah. All right. First off,
it just makes me think of the time when we talk about our other friend Chris.
Oh, my motherfucking God.
And he,
man.
And that bitch guy, ass
controller, man.
That guy, he had a controller that he can program the program moves in. So, and he could essentially put in crazy difficult moves as a one button press.
Yeah, he'd do the fucking Akuma shit, you know, one button. You know,
yeah, the demon rage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, come on, son, cheating ass motherfucker, you know?
And that's what pissed me off, because it's like, yo, I'm trying to play here with my actual, you know, my actual skill, and you're just fucking just pressing, you know, you just went out and bought it. I was like, well, I could use whatever I want.
Well, remember how that shit evolved, right? Because he bought this controller because he fucked up his hand skateboarding or whatever, right? And we're like, okay, whatever, you know, if that helps you with your hand, whatever. Then like a month later, his hand is healed. Like, why are you still using that shit, man? He's like, oh, because I bought it. Like, all right, man. Fuck out of here, man. All right, next question. I'm going to move this up the queue here. I'm just being real right now because he gave us a super chat. What's going on, Eduardo? You know? So his question is, have video games become easier now than they were back in the day? Mega Man is kicking my ass right now. Do we even need to really answer this? Games were fucking hard as shit back in the day. Games will fuck you in the ass and make you beg for more, you know? Mm-hmm.
But it was by design because most of them were in the arcade and they wanted to make it hard so you could just put more money in.
Yeah, and then that shit came to the home consoles too. It's like, all right, man, right? You get continues in the home. Like, why do we have continues at a home console? I bought this shit. Games were brutal, man. You know?
Therein lies also what has happened with current gaming as well. Whereas those people that did grow up in those sorts of environments of having continues and having all kinds of permadeath and all kinds of other stuff, well, that's the stuff that we dealt with. But the games maybe toward the 32-bit era and on, these are all those people that grew up with that and said, no, fuck that, infinite lives, there is no lives,
which is bullshit.
Yeah, I don't mind some of those quality of life things, but yeah, games are definitely fucking harder, you know? It's like, when you're an adult, if you're a little ass kid, you get your ass beat all day, whatever, you have all day. It's like, nowadays, it's like, can I just get, please, infinite continuous, because I can beat this fucking game, please, you know? But yeah, games, that's why people love Dark Souls and shit so much, because games are so much easier now. People like those fuck you in the ass games, you know?
But even
with that said, Dark Souls is still way fucking more fair than old games, man. Way fucking fair. You know?
It has checkpoints.
Exactly, man. You can wrap around the world and stuff. Even those games, as brutal as they are, they're not. Compare that shit to Ghouls and Ghosts. Ghouls and Ghosts is fucking crazy.
Oh, it's too brutal.
Yeah, very hard.
Dark Souls is easy. Yeah, exactly. You know, Dark Souls is easy compared to that. You know, but again, I think there's a difference between, like, you know, difficulty and, you know, less frustrating, if you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? It's like, some of these things we're just putting in, it's like, why the fuck do I need to go through all this shit? I fucking die, I gotta start the entire game over again? Why? This is stupid, you know? But yeah, no, old games are way fucking harder, bro. That's not even a debate, you know? And specifically, since we're on that subject about Mega Man, because I was thinking about this the other day, right? Mega Man 2 and onward, right? Even though they were brutal, they were still way more fair than that first fucking Mega Man game, right? Like, for example, In Mega Man 2 and onward, enemies moved in a very specific pattern, and their shots moved in a very specific pattern that you could memorize and dodge. In the first game, it's literally, they home in on you. Everything just homes in on you. You can't do shit about it, you know? It's like, come on, man, what the fuck? You know, and the enemies were on that ass, boy. They were just sticking on you, you know? Taking energy. It's like, fuck, man. This is crazy. You know, and the Yellow Devil, remember that shit? You had to cheat on that motherfucker, you know? For you guys who don't know, with the Yellow Devil, if you have the electricity thing, what you do is when you shoot the electricity at his eye, you keep pressing the pause button a lot, and it fucking kills him. It's hilarious, man. All right, going back to our boy G Megaforce. This is an interesting one. I never even considered this shit. Do you plan on passing your game library to family and friends when you die?
You know, it's funny. This sounds like a conversation that we might have had when we were teenagers.
I think it's a conversation we should have had. If we did, I forgot about it.
We've had it as when we were kids. It's like, well, yeah. I remember back in the day, it used to be Mike that you're like, yeah, Mike gets everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I think that was more like a joke, wasn't it? what about like seriously? Because I'm thinking about like, I never really
game library.
What happened, Brett? Yeah.
You can't pass library.
Oh damn!
Yeah, you give him your password.
Give him the login.
You know, yes. You can't inherit a digital experience.
That's right. You can't, Brett. But I guess for the purposes of this thing, physical, it has to be a physical collection. Because you can't do that digitally, obviously. You know, I don't know. The government's gonna get my shit. I don't have any plans.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like whoever, you know, it's whoever's whoever's gonna get your stuff after.
Who's gonna want my fucking PlayStation 4 games in like the year 2050? You know what I'm saying?
No, man, those are classics then.
If anything, we're proven is that the console itself would be worth money. So just if they could have that, the hardware.
Does it come with the patches too?
Well, no, that's my point. We'll be purely digital by then. Everything's going to be tied to an account, so you won't be able to.
But you can put other members on. It's just like Facebook and stuff. When you have somebody that passes, if you don't know their login and all that stuff, you can contact them. And if you provide the information like what we had to do, then... They can give you access to it.
Yeah, so but I think for this, we're specifically talking about physical game collections, you know?
Well, physical, then yeah, you could just put in your will. I leave this to Tommy Luch, and here you go.
Tony Luca gets this one.
That's my homeboy right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody in here have any serious plans with what to do with their game collection when they pass away?
I don't plan on dying.
That's what I'm like, I ain't never dying. I ain't dying, never, you know?
Yeah. Well, ask me this question in 40 years.
You know? Yeah, right. Well, there is that question when you from where you're a kid, where you were saying, man, I don't think I'm going to live past 30 something, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was my thing. Now I'm like, you know, I'm like, I guess my thing is like, okay, I used to believe I would be dead by 30. I'm 38 now. So now my thing is I'm going to outlive everybody.
Yeah, man, I'm
going to be, fucking the last man on earth, for me. You know, with the vampire.
What were you saying, Adam?
Yeah.
I said, this is like OT for me from all the times I got hit by cars and vans and shit.
Yeah, right. OT. That's right. Yo, Manny, I'm going to be the last man on earth. There's going to be just vampires living in a neighborhood. You know,
you'll be like, Morgan. Like, my fucking name is Morgan.
Stop Morgan, motherfucker.
God damn it. Oh, get it right.
So instead of playing a record, Tony's playing PS4.
Yes.
Like, shut up.
And then at the end of the movie, I'm going to realize I'm the monster because I've been killing these motherfuckers during the day, you know? I am legend. All right, I'm going to...
I like that movie. I don't care what people say. It wasn't like the
I like the original, you know?
Well, which one? The Vincent the Price one?
Well, the original story. The original story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
the Price one was so bad. The Price one was off the book, and that was pretty bad.
Okay, here's the thing. I didn't read the original book, but I did read the graphic novel. It was done by the same guy who did 40 Days a Night or whatever the fuck it was. He adapted it, and it's basically almost all the words from the novel just with pictures and shit. Mm-hmm. It was really good. All right.
Ben Temple Smith?
I think that's his name. Yeah, yeah. He adapted I Am Legend. It was fucking awesome. All right.
Badass.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta check it out. Book's in black and white, but it looks really nice. All right. Next up, I'm gonna move this up to Q2 because I think we answer this fairly quickly. The XSkull13 asks, did you watch the DMC5 leak video? No, I didn't know this existed until I asked this question.
Did the boss fight that we saw from PAX?
No, he says it's like a leak. I don't know.
I haven't seen that either. You're laying some knowledge on us now.
Yeah, you hit me with some facts, bro. You know? And hence... Yep,
I haven't seen it either, so I don't know.
All right.
Is it good?
How is it? Is it hot? Is it hot?
It looks, I mean, from,
they got
from,
Dante
that,
in it?
From that boss battle thing, it looked cool.
Yeah, but he's talking, I don't know what the fuck the leak is, though.
Yeah, it's that one boss battle thing with the giant monster that like has, and the destructible environments that they were showing not long ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's why I threw it in there because I knew it would be a quick answer. No, we haven't. All right. Next up here. Okay, this is a funny one. Mr. Figs, why is Ubisoft constantly talking about streaming of games in the future and acting like pioneers when they are the Philip Mewson of video games? Ubisoft is the best in the industry when it comes to having the same formula and level structure in many other games. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is Origins 1.5, and they copied Far Cry 4 map in Primal. Shouldn't Ubisoft try to create new ideas in a variety of genres instead of having the same boring, predictable formula? Here's the thing. Say what you will about the Ubisoft formula, and there definitely is a Ubisoft formula. That formula makes some fucking money, you know?
There you go. So, if he's bored, play a Division.
Yeah, but yeah, all their games, and even Ubisoft said, is like, yeah, we're trying to make our games kind of homogenous. We're trying to make them all the same thing. And it makes some fucking money. Say what you will about them, you know? So, yeah. I mean, it would be nice if they did different-er things. I know that's not a real word, but.
Different-er?
They're not going to do that shit. They make too much money off the formula, you know?
Can I just point out something that this person has failed to mention? That if you look at the new IPs in the last two generations, that have been the most successful, three of them are Ubisoft games, which are Assassin's Creed, The Division, and Watch Dogs. So you can't say that they just do the same thing, because they are making new IPs, and those new IPs are the most successful new IPs.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right about that. Granted, those new IPs definitely have similarities between them, but they are new, and they are very successful. So, yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that up. So, again, Ubisoft's not going to change their ways until they stop making them money, you know?
The best part is when they gave me my money.
I don't think there's
they just present their video games differently with a French accent.
Yeah, right? You know? Watch Dogs trash. You guys are funny, man. All right.
The first one was.
You know what?
Yeah, the second one was dope. I got the platinum in that shit.
It is about Wildlands. I don't know if that's going to get a sequel. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it was okay. I put a lot of time, got that plat, but I don't know if I would go back. I mean, they have to fix a lot of things. So, and they really haven't talked about it at all. So, I don't know. I wonder if that was a new IP, and I wonder if that's gone. If they're just going to go back to the old way of Ghost Recon.
The old ways.
It's a good question.
That really wasn't a Ghost Recon game. That was just an A-team game. They were like, all right, we got to link it to something. Spinoff, something that Call of Duty they should have did with this MP version that they got coming out.
Well, Ubisoft still has to do their own version of Destiny, so.
Yeah, they still have a genre that they need to hit.
Yeah, that's right.
The space one, but then that's with Halo and all the other. There's so many in that market, that space, you know, RPG format type thing. It's
like, space market.
The space market. Space, you know? Market. Oh, yeah, that's Anthem. I'm sorry. I'm still on hype for that fucking game. You know, no, as a matter of fact, after watching that trailer today, because by the way, keeping it real right now, I saw a bunch of dudes on my timeline getting hyped as fuck. So I looked at trailers. I'm less hyped now, and I wasn't even hyped to begin with. You know, looks like another Destiny. I'm sorry. You know,
it does.
I'm worried. Really does. I'm worried. I'm really worried. I don't think that game's gonna do well, and I think that's gonna be the end of Bioware, which is fucking sad. You know, I hope I'm wrong, man. All right, let's move on, man. Hashling and Slasher. So he goes, controversial question time, LOL. Battlefield 5 is behind Call of Duty in pre-orders by 85%. Last year, it was ahead of Call of Duty in pre-orders. And years before then, Battlefield has been behind Call of Duty by around 40%. Games journalists are saying the decrease in pre-orders happened because of Red Dead Redemption 2 and Call of Duty before and after Battlefield 5. It seems every games journalist is completely ignoring the terrible feedback EA has gotten from the first trailer and what EA's former CEO said to gamers about not buying the game if they don't like it. Obviously, a statement like this and their attitude towards the game would drive people away. My question is, should we trust these games, and he puts it, quote-unquote, journalists, should we trust these games journalists that won't tell us the whole story? Listen, man, I always tell people, don't trust any of these people, even me. You know, trust your own, like, judgment on some of this stuff, you know?
Everybody has their own view. I mean, we could go back with the whole money thing, with the microtransactions and all the shit that they wanted to do, the pay to win. And I'm sure that has a big to do with it, because people are like, you know what? I don't trust them. They're probably going to do it in this game, too.
Yeah, and he forgot to bring up the whole Star Wars Battlefront thing. That was a huge deal. Saying, people like, nah, son. But then again, yeah, at the same time, when the CEO is telling you, oh, don't buy our game, you... don't be surprised if people don't buy your game. You know,
well, also he called people questioning the protagonists and all that stuff. He called them uneducated.
Yeah, he's flat out said uneducated.
So you insult the customer and tell them not to buy a game if they don't like it. Then guess what they're going to do?
Yeah.
Cancel the pre-order. So as simple as that. Like these guys want to work around like, oh, Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeah, we know Red Dead Redemption 2 is a big game and people only have a limited amount of money, but that's not the case here. There are people loyal to Call of Duty and Battlefield who will buy every fucking game, right?
Yeah.
But this time is different. Why is it different? It's not because of Red Dead. It has nothing to do with Rockstar and everything to do with how EA treated the customers and how they've been treating their customers up until this point.
I think also, remember the last one was the Battlefield 1. They went back to World War One, and that was a big deal. Just like with the, what you call it, the Hearts one that we were just talking about.
Valiant Hearts.
Yeah, Valiant Hearts. It was like, oh, wow, let's go there because we haven't really gone there. This year, they're going to World War Two. We just went there last year with Call of Duty.
Right.
You know, so it's like it's not really new content. So if you're looking at your wallet and you're like, all right, there's so many big games coming out. What do I really want to spend my money on? Well, Red Dead, that's going to be a new experience. It's been a while since I've been there. We've already been to World War II with that. And with the sales for the Call of Duty, I want to see how those are doing because I still think that, because at least all the people I know a lot of people are playing. No one's really hyped on it. No one's saying anything. They're all giving it the benefit of the doubt, but they want to see more gameplay from that Battle Royale mode.
Well, you know.
No.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for Anthem. I'm waiting for them numbers. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna talk about that on the air.
Oh, let's go, man. Get them chats.
We need them spreadsheets, man.
The chart's gonna be a line at the bottom. I don't know if you can tell. There's zero. There's a bump there. That's EA staff being forced to buy the game.
Oh God!
Damn!
Oh, remember that? What's red line? What does
blue line mean? That means the guy bought it, but then he returned it.
Oh man, yeah. Come on, man. None of this should be surprising, man. There are very specific reasons why those pre-orders are down. You know, Jesus.
Yeah. I'd say that the game journals aren't fully wrong, but they're not fully right either. Because my thing is, I think that Red Dead does have a part to play, as by far it is the most anticipated game of this year. Like, I'm sorry, it's not God of War, it's not Spider-Man, it is Red Dead. Everyone wants to see Red Dead. I mean, people got so hyped over a damn poster of Red Dead.
Yeah,
that's the thing that happened.
Oh, no, so I agree.
Red Dead is making stupid amount of tracks. So that definitely has something to do with it. And also, the time when it comes out, because again it comes out around the same time as Call of Duty now, so hence it now has to compete with like the FPS game that everyone plays because it's the FPS game, and that is a part of it. But then at the same time, you cannot ignore the fact that the PR for EA and Battlefield have not been doing a good job of doing PR. They've been saying some really bad stuff, as in, we see some stuff where they are literally chasing people away from the game, which, of course, if you tell people not to buy your game, people won't buy your game. So that's also a thing. So hence why I think that the game journals are hitting like 3 of 5 of the points that make sense. They just seem to be missing the other two because it's not convenient or it doesn't fit in with certain things that they have. And they want to just sweep it underneath the rug. And I just think that's just, it's not nice, but at the same time, to be honest, at this point in time with Battlefield 5, I'm just like, I'll just let it be. Like, the game will come out. I won't buy it because it's World War II. And I think the only World War II game I actually will buy is Wolfenstein. So hence, I'm done if it's not Wolfenstein. So, but then same time, I just think
did
it's
you
really
play in this year's Call of Duty World War
II? No, it's Call of Duty.
And it's very good.
Call of Duty. It is Call of Duty. I just had enough of it. Like, nope, Call of Duty, not, I'm not playing it. Like, they refuse to change up the game to the point where it's actually playable for me, so hence, I just don't. And keep in mind, playable for me, I mean, like, Unreal Tournament. So hence,
what if they gave up on Shooter Man?
Yep.
No more Shooter Man.
I thought that you guys had honestly forgotten about that.
Nah, bro, I'm surprised you didn't say when you were like, oh yeah, you know, because it's the FPS game. I was like, yeah, Shooter Man, motherfucker, say it, you know. All right, man, let's move on here. Next question. Why, actually, this is both from Hashling and Slasher and Black Metal Gamer. They both asked us the same question.
Yo, man, they tag team.
What's
son.
Up with that, man? And they use a lot of the same terminology. Yo, plagiarizing each other.
Yo, man, plagiarism.
You know?
That boy's and I was like, yo, I got this question. Yeah, I'm going to ask you.
Phil?
I'm going to ask you first.
Is that you, Phil?
Yeah, right? Shit. Okay, so the question is, you know what? I'll ask both of them just because I like them. And Black Metal Gamer hooked us up with the super chat. So, but I'm going to ask Hashling is first. He goes, what do you think of Shuhei Yoshida saying Sony is too good to play ball with Microsoft and Nintendo as far as cosplay goes? Is Sony as a whole becoming too cocky for their own good again? And Black Metal Gamer asked, thoughts on Sony CEO saying crossplay not being available on their platform because Sony is the best place to play? Is Sony getting cocky as fuck? And could this be a attitude? And could this kind of attitude harm the next generation? All right, let's read what Shuhei Yoshida actually said, because a lot of people like kind of misconstruing this man's words, you know. So basically, this is what he goes on cross platform. Our way of thinking is always that PlayStation is the best place to play. Fortnite, I believe, is the best place to play. Fortnite, I believe, partnered with PlayStation 4 is the best experience for users. That's our belief. But actually, we already opened up some games as cross-platform with PC and some others. So we decided to base on what is the best user experience. That is our way of thinking with cross-platform. So he didn't say that, like, oh, those other consoles are shitty. He says the best place to play it is PlayStation.
It's still divided. Consoles are still divided. It's not like, you know, other markets where it's like, yeah, we all play together. No, it's there's a lot of bad blood.
I like how he says they're doing it for the best user experience, because that just reeks of such bullshit. That reminds me of when Time Warner says something like, oh, we found that our customers only generally use less than 50 megabytes per second of data. So this is more than enough to accommodate the needs of
people. Do you remember when Verizon did those commercials with 5 gigs? They're like, oh, we've done our studies and people aren't even using any of this. This is more than enough. And all of a sudden they're like, yeah, unlimited for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's that exact same thing. Like, it's not a better user experience by locking off other players. It just isn't.
I mean, here's the one thing I feel like with this sort of situation, no one seems to ask. When it comes to like online communities and stuff like that, who is responsible when people start, a watch platform? You know, when we
the developers.
So it's the developers that are policing people.
If you go cross platform, it has to be.
Okay, so then that means that whatever things are, if anybody has any sort of complaints about the behavior of a person from another console, who are they talking? Who do we talk to? Do we talk to the developers or do we talk to Sony? Because what usually happens is nobody incorporates the developer in these sorts of conversations. It's usually Sony needs or Microsoft or Nintendo needs to do a better job of quelling this sort of behavior. So I feel like in this sort of situation, I mean, you know, this is again, but it may not be able. I think that part of the reasoning behind this is not only is because Sony has the, you know, upper hand in this situation, but I also think that they don't want to deal with all the bullshit that has to come with dealing with the other consoles. But then again, they do open it up to PCs.
How are Nintendo and Microsoft handling it?
We don't know.
I mean, the other thing is you don't even have to open up chat between consoles. Like,
can you chat with a person from on a? Well, no. Actually, you can't.
I don't think you can unless there's an in-game chat service to get. And if there's an in-game chat service provided by the developer, it should be policed by the developer.
As far as I know, like most online games on consoles don't have like in-game chat.
Nope.
It seems to be very odd.
Yeah. So I mean, it's
we're talking because people don't want to hear some douche like just randomly cursing.
No, we mean like text chat. So that like, you can't like. But like public chat or group chat or something like that. Yeah, so even then, like that's not a thing that I've seen before in games that I know about.
Yeah, by the way, I you know, because I'm looking at the chat right now, as always, whenever we bring up crossplay, these guys are not happy about it, you know? Like, man, we don't need that shit. Fuck crossplay.
what Yoshida said about it, it's like, I don't know. To be honest, it kind of reeks of marketing speech. You know, he even uses the best place to play thingy, which is one of their catchphrases.
Yeah, I was going to say that. To me, it doesn't reek of, you know, arrogance or cockiness or whatever. It's just marketing bullshit. Of course, he's going to say the PlayStation is the best place to play. He's not going to say Nintendo's the best place to play, you know?
Yeah, he's not going to. Yeah, he is a guy that works for a company, and you're probably not going to get his genuine opinion about this sort of stuff. He's obviously in that situation going to be supporting Sony's whatever Sony decides to do.
Yeah, remember the other day Aaron Greenberg was talking about how Xbox is the home for hardcore gamers. You think he's going to go, Sony's the home for hardcore gamers? No, he's Aaron Greenberg. He's got to prep his company, you know?
No, but it's not the statement as much as the stance that belies the arrogance, and I kind of have to see their point in that in the sense that, okay, so basically – you hear a bunch of people saying that they want this one thing. They want this thing. Like, let's say there's a bunch of people standing outside of your cake factory, and they all want strawberry cake. And you step out, and you go, our vanilla cake is the most delicious vanilla cake anywhere around. And everybody loves our vanilla cake. Just ask the 500,000 people that buy our vanilla cake every year. Have a good day. And they walk in and shut the door on you. If you were in that strawberry cake crowd, you'd be like, well, fuck you too, guy.
Here's the flaw in that logic right there. It's like if you're known for making a vanilla cake, and then some dickhead says, "Hey, I want strawberry cake." It's like, no, motherfucker, we make a vanilla cake, and that's all we make.
Exactly.
How do you know when I start making strawberry cakes, my strawberry cakes are shit.
And see, that's the thing. Nobody's entitled to the strawberry cakes. But you could at least say, no, we're not making them.
That is a good point, too. You know,
Frost. Man, I'm hungry.
Yeah, right?
I want some vanilla cake. Fuck strawberry cake.
Yeah, same here, man.
I want cross saves. That's what I want.
That is something I think is something that's plausible, that they should do. In fact, they did do it in the previous generation with Grand Theft Auto.
They do what they feel like doing it, and at a limited time, because they want to double dip. They want everybody to double dip. Mm-hmm. I want that if, let's say, a buddy of mine was like, hey, you want to play, let's say, for example, Division, want to play on Xbox? I do it on PS4. But if I did have the Xbox version, then I could log in with my profile, and I don't have to start from scratch.
I feel like that would be a good alternative to crossplay. Let's use Fortnite for an example, right? Okay, you have Fortnite on your PlayStation, but a bunch of your friends are on the Switch version or the Xbox version. Everything gets saved into Epic servers, and then you can just take that to the next thing.
It's already there. They just don't let you do it.
But that has more chance for you to jump ship, don't you think?
I mean,
obviously, if you're signing into the other one. So you're already there.
Well, no. So if you have the ability to play on your PlayStation with a bunch of people from Xbox, but all your saves are locked to your PlayStation, unless you're going to start over on all of your games, then you're probably not going to migrate to another system. But if you give somebody the ability to pack up all of their save files and just move over wholesale to another system, that is makes them much more likely to jump.
That's very expensive. We're saying save. We're not saying that they'll give you the whole game. That would be
even
something
even the save. Like the developers make out great from that. But I'm the publisher, or if I'm the Sony, and I'm sitting here, my question to everybody would be like, why the fuck would I let everybody pick up their save files and their, all their hard-earned, wins and everything like that, and move them over? Especially because people care so much about platinums and achievements, they just go load the last save, finish all their platinum shit, and, ping a new achievement, or the achievements would already ping up because the save file would be imported. And now they can just fucking leave whenever they want to. I have nothing to read.
But still, it don't matter because the publisher still wins because that person still had to go buy the game again. They still had to do a double dip.
No, the publisher wins, but why is the platform holder going to allow the publisher to do that? That's bad for them. That's bad for Sony and Microsoft. That especially is something I could see them being like, no way in hell. If you start a game on PlayStation, that shit stays on PlayStation. I would see them doing crossplay before that, because then they're like, okay, well, you can still play your game. It has more active user base. You're still not fucking going anywhere.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to read what Nate said. It's very interesting. That's just funny to me. He goes about crossplay. There is already enough versus stuff going on in gaming. I don't want it in my gaming experience when I get on my PS4. The majority of Xbox players I've come across, I want nothing to do with them. And, you know, a lot of people feel that way. They don't want to play with the other guys, you know, because all that beef that's been going on with.
I don't care. They're just it's people.
So weird. Like, you do realize that a good chunk of people have two systems. There isn't necessarily such a thing as an Xbox player. Like, they're for the most part, really similar. Especially, a lot of the marketing differences went out the windows years ago. So unless you're tag along from older generations, the brand differences, it's become, you know, the difference between the guy in the red tie and the guy in the blue tie. There's very little fucking difference right now in terms of community because there's been so much mass migration. The whole end of the life cycle of PS3 really assured, assured that. Like, I know how to put this. With the huge migration from Xbox to PlayStation, when you're playing on your PlayStation, who the fuck do you think you're already playing with? Xbox players.
But it's okay. They jump ship. It's the same thing with sport teams. That's their logic. They're thinking the same way of like, oh, I hate those guys because they support this thing. Well, that guy moved to a new town and now he supports your team. You still hate him?
Nah, man. He's cool.
Nah, he's cool now. He jumped ship.
There's some places that'll still boo the people and if they came from another sports team.
Well, it makes it seem like, oh, everybody over whoever who buys, you know, Xbox is a knuckle-dragging troglodyte. Some of them have managed to evolve via gamma radiation and buy a PlayStation. They're like, no, that's you don't change personality when you buy a different system. You're already playing with these people.
You are the betrayer. You betray the church of Sony /Xbox/ Twitch.
I kind of see it like you know, Sony and Microsoft. They're both like, let's say one's from Queens, one's from Brooklyn. They don't like each other, but they're still kind of similar. You know what I'm saying?
No, man, they're still on the same island.
Yeah, but and then Nintendo is like motherfuckers from like, you know, Florida. It's like there's some New Yorkers down there.
That's funny because then these guys, they'll hate each other, but then when someone from the PC Master Race jumps in, then those two will stick together and talk about how awesome it is.
Oh, the PC console. Guys are from the Hubble Telescope,
So damn. And then Mac gamers are jumping and be like, "But we don't have anything." Look at Mac. All they have is
Linux
iPhone
has games. More games than they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Linux is the dark web, man.
Shit,
that's crazy.
I think Macs are just getting Doom right now.
Did we answer
the original one? Not the new one.
Yeah, the original.
Oh man,
getting a port.
We just got Doom. Yeah, man. We've been playing. What was that game? That Bungie
did. Did I ever tell you what I did with my MacBook Pro? That I put VMware on it so I could run Windows because I have a GeForce in my MacBook Pro, so that way I can run Titanfall and stuff on it.
Oh shit! Mm-hmm.
So I have to run Windows on my MacBook Pro in order to play any of those games.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That sounds efficient.
All right, man. Let's move on to the. Well, we got here quite fast, man. Final question of the night. All right, what are some of your favorite game engines from this generation, and what game engines could use some work or polish?
We mentioned the obvious for the latter part of the question. Telltale
engine. Yeah, right. You know, that needs some heavy polish, you know?
Yeah, man, you can have the most, like, simplistic-looking scene in the fucking Telltale game, and it'll run.
It'll instantly crash.
Yeah.
I think that needs the kind of polish that includes burning it to the ground and starting over, though. I don't know if you'd call that polish, even.
Yeah, right.
Back to formula!
Well, I mean, they've done this before, but they claim that they're gonna have a new engine. We'll see about
We've
that.
Created a new glitchier engine than the last one.
Yo, Manny, man, say it, man. Decima.
The Decima engine? I don't know.
No, the Fox engine. You mean Tony?
Yeah,
wink, wink.
You know. By the way, the MT framework engine is still being used in games.
games?
They're transitioning out of that. The new Devil May Cry is
I thought that's all Unreal. No.
No, that's like the. I think that's the Resident Evil engine.
Because
RE engine.
RE engine.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Hey, that's a good engine. Like
Street Fighter is using Unreal.
That's yeah, because I find out Mega Man 11 is using the MT engine. We're like, okay, is it?
Oh, that's true.
MT Framework engine. You know, they're being smart about it. Monster
uses it too. You know,
yeah, Monster Hunter still uses it too. But I mean, the Japanese companies are being smart and not going back to fucking formula every single title. Yeah, they can't do that anymore.
Yeah,
well, they need to polish up Monster Hunter a little bit. It has some weird hiccups still.
Yeah, maybe some of the MT Framework stuff, but. What else?
ID Tech 7.
ID Tech 7. That looks good. What about
that's in Doom Eternal, man?
Give me that shit right now. Yeah.
Can I say that I'd like to see, as always, a little bit of polishing on Bethesda's world engines?
And a little bit, a lot.
He's being very nice about that.
He's being nice, you know.
I'm with Brent. A little bit is fine.
No, a lot. A lot of bit.
I mean, unless you enjoyed like the occasional jank, you know, where like you walk forward and go flying into space.
I look for it's like occasional.
I enjoyed the giants knocking you into orbit in Skyrim. That was fucking beautiful. I enjoyed being able
which was totally intentional.
No, it was not. But yeah, you know, just a smidge. That's all I'm asking. Just
a little.
Yeah. I'm going to see you wiggle it just a little bit. Brian, I got one for you, man. The Witcher engine.
I
just don't know what they use.
They're using their internal Witcher engine.
Yeah, probably.
I call it Witch Engine.
I wonder if Cyberpunk has its own engine.
Wingen,
I don't think so. Because, like, those guys... I'm certain that if they made their own for Witcher 3, then chances are they're just going to be using the same one for Cyberpunk.
God damn it, so they could have a third person.
What about...
Frostbite.
I don't know the name of it. I don't know if they ever said it. Frostbite. Yeah, Frostbite's good. The Naughty Dog engine. That shit is fire, you know?
The dog engine.
Yeah, it's called the dog engine.
I don't know.
You know what needs to be buried, and I hope... Bethesda does this like, yo, Fallout 76 better be using something new. Don't lie to us this time. Whatever Fallout's running on, you need to bury that shit. Bury it. It's been fun, but it needs to go.
Fallout 4?
Yeah, Fallout 4. They lied. They were like, this new...
It's way less glitchy than Fallout 3.
Well, Fallout 3 was fucking broken, man.
Yeah, Tony you could barely and I had play a time that. With that. Exactly.
There's a slope upwards is all I'm saying.
There's a slope.
All right, man, whatever.
You ever notice how like when games are, you know, the amount of things that you can do in a game somehow trumps how glitchy a fucking game is?
I think it's a ratio, actually. And the more open world, the more shit you can do in a game, the weirder stuff gets.
It's like that's part of the reason why I never played fucking Grand Theft Auto games, because those games are fucking glitchy as shit.
Whoa, so you roll.
When Skyrim launched, that shit was like unplayable, man. It's evolved, but like that needs to stop, because it seems like every time they ported that game, they brought the freaking glitches to everything else. So just like
they're giving you the authentic. Don't you know that they're giving you the authentic Skyrim?
Where it needs 1,000 patches to get back to where it was.
Yeah,
no, that's why I say like Fallout
it's
was
preservation, Chris. That's what they call it.
I think. Well, I said it's because I think it's using this. I think it is using the same engine. I think they've been just kind of working it out.
Yeah, the same thing like you guys mentioned, Walking Dead and whatever. Those guys lied too, because I went to the Batman presentation at E3 and that shit crashed. We were in there forever waiting for them to finish that shit.
Yep. That shit crashed on us too, and we were at different presentations, I believe.
I was with Rich, and we're like, how long are we going to be in here? It crashed twice, and I had to start it over.
Was that the one I was in, or was it the one, like, was it the one where I was with you and Tony?
Because I saw it with Gary.
Okay. Yeah, and I saw it with Richard.
Okay, so then I probably saw it with you guys, because, that thing was...
You were probably there. Yeah, it was busted. The best part was getting the drinks outside before the
fight. All I know is I was sitting next to... All I know is I was sitting next to the guy from Kotaku.
Steven Totillo.
Tortillo.
Tortillo.
Oh, man. What are some of the crappiest engines of this generation?
crappiest engines of this generation?
I can't name one off the top of my head.
How come nobody's mentioned the God of War game as the as one of the more impressive?
Yeah, whatever they're using. Yeah, that shit is hot.
Yeah. Whatever the Santa Monica's using now.
It's hot.
They said that they developed that engine from scratch. It's not even God of War 4.
Whatever Mafia 3 is running on sucks.
No shit. But yeah, there's like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but there's no games that really run like dog shit this generation, or am I missing something?
I don't know. Somebody in the chat throws it out there.
Oh, yeah, they're going to throw it out there. Yo, whatever Ubisoft uses, man, fuck this shit.
I know one. Use. Fucking WWE.
Oh, you call me, motherfucker?
It don't even work on the Switch.
What, your mama what?
Thrown out of the trash.
Oh, Yukes. Yeah. Yo, man, that's racist.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Unity engine, damn.
I mean, here's the thing.
That engine
there's
does
still
work, it's just they didn't fix that game.
But here's the thing. They're still using the Unity engine. That's the thing you guys don't understand. They fixed
Unity.
It.
Unity.
That the Assassin's Creed, all the Assassin's Creeds that have been after that, they're all running on that same engine.
Yep. You know, everybody loves Origins, right? Same engine. It's just, difference between actually developing a game, properly. But yeah, there's some good engines out there.
It's the difference between developing a game and as well as developing, and trying to hit a specific time frame as well as making a new title.
Here's an interesting one. Dr. Evil says CryEngine. Does anyone even use the CryEngine anymore? Remember, the CryEngine was like the hottest shit back in the day, Like, even last gen, people saw a CryEngine game, they lost their fucking minds. What's the last game to use that shit? I can't even recall it.
I know the Sonic game was using that shit.
CryEngine?
Yeah, Sonic Boom was using it for some odd reason.
Yeah, right.
For some reason they were using it on that one for some odd reason.
Check this out. This is interesting. Because Life and Time says Batman Arkham Knight engine. That's actually Unreal Engine 3. I thought it was 4.2 until Manny told me it was actually 3. It just runs better on 3. PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's 3, baby. Interesting. What about
the? They even asked them why didn't they move the 4? They're like, well, we've started developing it on 3.
Yeah. That shit looks crazy. Yeah, everybody's saying Telltale's the worst one.
Yeah, Telltale. Like, and it's funny for a company that's known for making games that don't exactly have much gameplay. You just kind of walk to the next object, and then the game just starts freaking out.
So sad with them. It's like they went from being really small to getting huge to getting small again.
Yeah, right. Because they got big because of their licensing deals. Shout out to Corey for the super chat, brother.
Dragon Age.
What engine is that running on? Is that
that Brian was
it's that running was nice on EA's one. Engine?
Which one, Brian?
Frostbite.
Oh yeah, it's EA. That's right.
Yeah. In general, Frostbite. BioWare said that they had a lot of issues with Frostbite because they were originally using Unreal back in the day.
Yeah,
because BioWare ain't shit anymore.
But here's the funny thing: like they use the CryEngine or what? The whatever the fuck that engine is. Now, why am I thinking Frostbite. About? Frostbite engine for Dragon Battle Age. Game. No. They used it for Dragon Age. That looked fine. But then you have Mass Effect Andromeda on the same engine. And
well, they said that it was a battle to even get a Dragon Age working on with the Frostbite engine. They had to develop so many.
I don't know why EA forced them on that shit,
And maybe because they didn't want to play a licensing fee to fucking, what's those guys? Epic. That they have to, when big companies do that, they have to pay them a licensing fee.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right about that, man.
They're like, no, we ain't paying Epic a licensing fee. Fuck that. Use the Frostbite. You know how to do shit, right?
The engine, man. Make games on it.
It's an engine. And that was the biggest issue, that the engine was made for first-person shooters, and it didn't allow for a lot of the RPG elements. So they had to internally develop all those things on there. So it's almost like they had to kind of make a new, essentially develop a whole new engine within it to fit the needs of their current needs.
This is interesting. Donovan the Gamer says the Hedgehog engine for Sonic games is probably one of the best optimized game engines out there. Look at Sonic Generations for a good example. I don't know if you want to use that engine because those games mostly don't look good, don't run good, you know?
They, I mean, the engines, they just, it's not that they, it's there's not really that much to it. I mean, granted, it runs on everything, but, you know, for the Sonic games that are made for it, nobody really gives a shit, yeah. Right?
Life and Time says, We Happy Few Engine. Isn't that Unity?
Yeah, it's Unity.
Yeah, it's Unity. Again, Unity's one of those engines. You know, you could make it sing, or if you don't know how to use it, it's going to be dog shit, you know?
Unity is also one of those free sort of engines, too. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
But yeah, here's the thing. Like, if you say Unity, you know, like, you say Unity for bad games, you know, bad being a bad engine, there are some companies that made very nice games with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Unity's a good engine, you know? Overall, it's just depending on the developer. We always talk about that, you know? Like, the tools are important, obviously, but it's really the person behind the tools or the persons behind the tool, you know? See, Microsoft bought the Havoc engine. That's what Uncharted ran off of. Oh, really? Remember, Havoc engine was in everything, too. I remember
the
that.
Havoc engine was like...
It was on Halo.
Havoc engine was the quick and dirty way to do physics, which they haven't updated their physics systems in who knows how long.
Yeah. Remember, Nintendo put that as some like other developers that are in for the Switch games. Remember they put Havoc on it?
Yeah, Kabata wants to know what engine is Shadow Colossus. It's their own internal engine.
Well, which version of Shadow of the Colossus?
That's a good question. Which version? Okay, Manny, so what was the original one on?
The original one is whatever Team Ico developed. That's their internal thing. The new one, the one that is a combination. It's the original game running underneath Bluepoint's proprietary engine.
Ah,
it's crazy. So it's like it's weird. It's not. It's the original game, but yet it's the original game is driving the underside of what's you're seeing, which is a weird sort of like handshake technique that they have.
Miguel wants to know what engine did they use for Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4. I don't know exactly what that is. The thing is that, you know, a lot of these companies don't like go out and say, hey, we use the blah, blah, blah engine. It's whatever. It's Resident Evil 4 engine, to be honest.
It's just proprietary, whatever it was for the game. Yeah.
Because back in the day, you know, in Japan, every single game that came out had a totally new engine that was developed specifically for it. So they would essentially just go back to formula, make a whole new engine for that specific game. You know, so that's why the Metal Gear Solid 2 engine and the Metal Gear Solid 3 engine and the Metal Gear Solid 4 engine, they're all three different engines specifically made for those games.
And Metal Gear Solid 5 too.
and same thing with 5. Now, what Kojima could have done is he could have gone back and, you know, and continued developing the MGS4 engine to do the things that he needed to do. But he didn't.
Wait, hold on. And Nate says that Resident Evil 4 used MT. Was MT even a thing back then?
No, I don't think so. No, MT is a more recent thing.
Yeah, MT yeah,
was
the last gen.
Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where it was first used.
Yeah, no, but Manny's right, though. Back in those days, every game had its own proprietary engine, Japanese games specifically. You know, yeah. Again, I've always talked about how, like, you know, I believe the Japanese are, you know, better developers than Westerners. But in the case of game engines, that's where Westerners had a leg up on the Japanese. They're like, hey, this shit keeps working. Let's do it again. Make games faster. You know, and Japanese are finally learning that, you know.
Yeah, because for a lot of the Western games, it's like each iteration of a title is essentially an iteration of that engine. So God of War, God of War 1 to 2 to 3, not 3, 1 to 2 are still probably running on the same engine, whereas 3 is a totally new one.
Yeah, it's like they would change engines mostly different generations, but even that's not true because Unreal's now skipping generations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, again, I'm glad Japanese are on board because look at that, Dragon Quest 11, Kingdom Hearts, right? I could name a couple of those, all Unreal Engine, you know? And they're still able to do the same things they've been able to do before, you know?
Exactly, because, you know, again, it's like they're using why do they need to go through the trouble of recreating a whole new engine for the whole damn thing like they did in the past? Why can't they just keep using whatever they had and just, concentrate on improving the engine and then, making the new game?
Check this out. X-Skull says Bluepoint should remake Metal Gear Solid 3. Here's the thing. Konami is fucking crazy because they actually kind of sort of remade Metal Gear Solid 3 as a pachinko game with the Fox engine, and it looks fucking gorgeous, you know, but it's a pachinko game. But yeah, they did remake it with the Fox engine.
The cinematics in that game are essentially are all just reusing the motion data and camera data from the PlayStation 2 version, which is weird. So
No. Donovan says that Octopath Traveler is also using Unreal Engine 4. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I know it's going to sound like, you know, cliche or whatever, but Unreal is a good engine, man. Like,
if you didn't like it before, man.
You know me, because every game looked the same. Now they look different. Like every game, like, oh, that's Unreal. That's Unreal. That's Unreal. You could just tell. It was like a Liefeld drawing. There's Unreal, you know?
Well, the thing about it is that, like, you know, again, Unreal has a lot of different shaders and things that are specific to it. So, in other words, if you're a game company that just is, you know, you just use whatever's there. It's the really talented ones that go in and say, look, we're not going to use all these different shaders. We're going to kind of create a whole new batch of stuff specifically for our game, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting, man. Yeah, I had no idea. But now that I think about it, I can see the Unreal-isms in Octopath.
It's the blurriness.
The blurriness, yes. And that's what also gave it away with not a lot of scenes. It was like one or two scenes I saw in Dragon Quest XI. I was like, that's Unreal. That's Unreal right there, you know? That's crazy, man. Cryware. All right. Okay, I think that's pretty much going to do it for us. So, again, people, we have a contest going. We're going to end it on Thursday, you know, and we're giving away a free physical copy of Spider-Man for the PS4. If you want to win the copy or get a chance to win the copy, make sure you follow us here on YouTube. Follow us on Twitch. Follow us on Twitter at Throwdown Show. And in the comment section of the video that we have on YouTube for the contest, or just regularly just, you know, tweet to us at Throwdown Show. Tell us what your favorite Spider-Man game is. We're going to pick somebody completely at random, and you'll win the game. We'll send that out to you fast. Well, Carlos, what we're planning to do is, like, we're going to try to get this from, you know, Best Buy and just maybe have the person just get the game or something from their store.
Yeah, we can order it at Best Buy, and they can just pick it up. They can let us know which one what Best Buy works best
for them.
That
would be the fastest way, yeah.
Yeah, and more reliable, too, because Amazon mean I get games. I've never, ever had a problem with Best Buy, ever, you know?
Or we can ship it as well. Whatever you want. But shipping, it also comes with the precaution that it might not arrive the day it comes out. So if you want to guarantee to play the day it comes out, then Best Buy pickup is the best option.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. So, yeah, good luck with that, people. So, again, remember, hyping shit ups here. So, we're going to have episode 200 of Throwdown this Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have Torrence Davis on. We're going to have Hip Hop on. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also, I can't believe I keep forgetting to mention this, we're also going to have episode 200 of Throwdown Your Questions that same week.
Yes.
That's going to be good. And I think what we're going to do for that episode is we're going to do a live AMA special. The last one seemed to go off really well, you know, because again, Throw Down Your Questions is like the simple show we just do, you know, just for you guys, but we should do something different. So yeah, let's do the AMA one again, you know, ask us whatever the fuck you want. 2 hours to just us answering random shit, you know. So that being the case, hold off on questions, you know, like pre-canned questions until episode 201. You know, you can leave them in the comment section, episode 200. But right now, don't ask us any questions, because we're not going to answer any, like, pre-canned questions. Everything's going to be just live at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday for episode 200. That'll be fun.
Yeah, so then you show up and just ask us some live questions.
Anything. Comics, movies, games, life shit.
Otanime.
Whatever you want, man. You know, lingerie, whatever. It don't matter. AMA,
people. Whoa. Lingerie. Hold on.
Brian got excited.
Okay. One rule. Nothing about anal beads. Okay, because that was like a dark time in our podcast history.
God, yeah,
that's our podcast. Our podcast. That ain't our podcast.
As in, like, as in, like, all of us, as in, not just like Throwdown, I just mean, like, all of us, as in, like, a dark time. So, none of that, please.
Brian is trying to say that the Throwdown is like an offshoot anal beat of the war zone.
Oh, man. Please stop saying anal beats.
Excuse me?
No.
Yeah, that's gonna do wonders for our YouTube.
Yeah, right. Monetization.
Probably flag us for that shit too.
Yeah. By the way, in general,
it's just a sex toy. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, and don't tweet pictures of your butthole, please. Not on publicly on Twitter.
Oh man,
yeah, Chris, you already know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Did you see the one where the guy sent the with the tattoo of a face, and it's like his mouth is open there? I'm like, that looks so painful, so fucking painful.
Oh, God. All right, before this gets crazier, we're going to wrap this shit up. So
Wrap it up.
So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions in the comment section episode here on YouTube or over on The Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. So actually, no, fuck that. Disregard that last part. I'm going to be on fucking autopilot. Don't ask a shit. subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, Facebook, and Periscopes. At Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. Time's joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Adam Vail.
Thank you. The global event ends in 4 hours.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, everybody.
And Brian Mungiola.
And shout out to Carlos and happy birthday to you, bro.
Thanks, man.
Happy birthday to everybody. It's everybody's birthday. They're all getting presents tonight. All right, guys. We'll see you Thursday, man. Episode 200 is coming for your faces. Later.
Halloween to mañana.